Access. Well, good morning to everybody.
Good morning.
The people who are listening through the internet don't need to know about the homework that I set you, so that's fine. We're looking at the Holy Catholic Church. And the passage we're going to read today is 1 Peter chapter 2. And it's a wonderful, wonderful, exciting passage, this. And it contains a heck of a lot more than I'm going to preach about, so it maybe would be something that you'll be inspired with for Wednesday night. I'm going to read from verse 4 of 1 Peter chapter 2. And I'm going to read down to the end of verse 12. As you come to him, the living stone, talking of Jesus, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious, but to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone, and a stone that causes men to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they're destined for. But you are chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us." A wonderful, wonderful passage. And in it you'll even find some of what the other guys have been speaking on as we've been looking at being the Holy Catholic Church. You see how, well, here Jesus is described as the living stone. He's also described as the capstone. Whereas before we've been seeing Jesus as the rock, which is more like the foundation stone. But it's all saying the same thing. It's all the fact that the Holy Catholic Church is all those people who build their lives upon Jesus, the foundation, the rock. And it's on him we're built. And that goes for anybody who trusts in him, who believes in him. Because whoever trusts in him and believes in him will not be disappointed. They will not be put to shame, as our passage said. And that is because they're part of his body, they're part of the Holy Catholic Church. So who are we here, sitting here, the 20 or so of us sitting here this morning, who are we? Well, if we're all people who trust and believe in Jesus, well, we are the people that this passage is talking about. We're part of a universal church. We're separate. We're separated from this world. We're holy. We're called out of this world. We're the church. And we are Catholic from the point of view of we're part of the one universal church. Last night, I have to confess, I'm not a great football fan, but I was watching wee bits of the football match last night. England and Russia. And it was good game, actually. I don't mind watching football. I'm just not, you know, I'll not give up something else to go and watch it. But I wasn't doing anything. And I watched a wee bit of the first half and watched a wee bit of the second half. And it was all very exciting. But then I was absolutely shocked. I hadn't been reading anything about it. I hadn't heard that there'd been violence the previous couple of days. But then the ITN news came on that showed you some of the violence that was going on, the fighting. I don't know whether you saw any of it. It didn't show you very much, but it really, really struck me. It was, and this is a thing I always hark back to, it was like lawlessness. It's where there's no respect for any law or for any person or for the police or for anything. And they were just, you know, I think it didn't bring out the best in me watching it. You know, my thought was, those people should be taken out and shot. Which isn't exactly reaching them with the gospel, is it now? But I was shocked by the violence. There was Russian guys running around punching English guys, and there was English guys running about kicking and punching them, and there was French guys there just getting involved for the fun of it, and it was brutal, really ugly. But what I realized was that what I was witnessing was an extreme picture of the pattern of this world. How we get on and how we find our identity in this world. That was just, I'm not expecting any of us to be doing that. But that's an extreme picture of how the world functions. It's a very much a them and us world. Them and us. Whether it's I'm English and they're Russian, whether it's I'm French and they're English, or it happens in all sorts of different ways. Them and us mentality. And it comes about for lots of different reasons, but a lot of it, and I was encouraged by the readings there just before I got up, because they were talking about fear a lot. Or certainly a little, they were talking about fear. And I think it's the fear that brings it, that them and us mentality. And we here in Northern Ireland have been brought up in the them and us mentality, where it's them and us, and they are just the other way around. They see it's them and us to them as well, if that makes any sense. Whether it's because we don't like another people, whether we feel vulnerable, whether we feel fearful of what might happen or what they're going to do, whether it's just because they're different. They talk with a different accent, they've got different coloured skin, they go to a different kind of church, they do different things. I don't know what it is, but that fear sets in and we start to think of ourselves as us and them. And we find a group of people around us who all think the same and we all look the same and we all get on the same, and we become the us and they become the them. It's the pattern of this world. It's how the world has always functioned. And you read about it. If you want to go to the Bible, read about it through the Bible. It's always the them and us mentality. We're coming up to a referendum in, I don't know, what is it, 11 days time. How exciting. Are we going to be up? Are we going to be us, or are we going to be part of them? You know, that's basically what it is. Are we going to be just us, or are we going to be part of them? Thinking of, are we going to be continued, are we going to start to be a independent sovereign nation, or are we going to continue to be part of the European Union? It's very much the pattern of this world. It's all about them and us. The problem is that the pattern of this world is described in the Bible as being the kingdom of darkness. Jesus describes it as the blind leading the blind. It's like a blind person in the darkness leading another blind person. That's what the pattern of this world is like, because God describes it as futile. Hopeless, pathetic. And of course it's organized and it's, as it were, ordained by the king of darkness, the prince of darkness, the ruler of darkness, Satan. He's the one. And he's not just as blind as everyone else in the darkness. He's the one who devises the darkness, devises the patterns of this world so that people will go astray. It's darkness. Them and us mentality is darkness. But you see, this passage says to us that we are the called out ones. We're to be giving praise to God. Why? Because he called us out of the darkness and into his wonderful light. So we are the people. We are the holy nation. We are the chosen people. We are God's people. We are the royal priesthood who have been called out of the darkness and into his wonderful light. But part of that means leaving all the patterns of darkness behind us. So when it comes to the them and us mentality, and I have said, you might not agree with me, that's fine. I have said that the them and us mentality is part of the pattern of this world, is part of the darkness. So when I come into God's wonderful light, what do I see? How am I going to renew my mind? How am I going to replace the pattern of this world, the them and us mentality, with something new, something godly, something of the pattern of the kingdom of light? So what do I see? Well, I'll read verses 9, 10, and 11 again. But you are chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. One of the hardest things for us to do, and it's part of the sanctification process, it's part of the process of being made into the likeness of God, of having God's image restored in us. And it's to let God define who you are. It's letting God define how you think. It's letting God define how you see things. And for here, God says, if you are the person who trusts and believes in Jesus, the living stone, well then you are a royal priest. You're amongst the chosen people. You are part of a holy nation. You're part of God's people. That is who you are. It is irrelevant whether you're black or white. It's irrelevant whether you're fat or thin. It's irrelevant whether you were brought up Catholic, Protestant, Muslim, Buddhist. It does not matter. It doesn't matter whether you're male or female. It doesn't matter whether you're old or young. God says, you are a royal priest in his kingdom. That is who you are, and that is what defines you. The only them and us that God gives us is the darkness and light. Are you in the darkness or are you in the wonderful light? Billy, you're in the wonderful light. Rita, you're in the wonderful light. Julie, you're in the wonderful light. Taddy, you're in the wonderful light. Eileen, you're in the wonderful light. So we are part of the us. We are the ones in the light, the Holy Catholic Church, those who are built upon the foundation of the living stone, the capstone, the one who defines it all, the one who is the source of it all. And then there's the them, those who are in the darkness still. Those who are in the darkness are still following the patterns of this world, the them and us mentality, the trying to hang on to some sort of identity, trying to hang on to some sort of who I am, the them and us mentality that leads to the violence on the streets, that leads to the wars, that leads to the disagreements, that leads to the distrust and the fear. We are the called out ones. We are the ones who believe what God says. We have more identity than we could ever dream of. You're a child of God. That doesn't... Everything else is nothing. I went home there because I brought my deodorant with me because I was sweating like that. No, I brought my deodorant for an illustration. You see, every kingdom of this world, it's just like a wee vapor. Here for a second and it's gone. You want to find identity in that? It's gone. You want to find identity in being an English football supporter? There it is. In a minute, it's gone. We have an identity in something that lasts forever. We are Christians. We are citizens of heaven. That's why Peter in this passage goes on to say, I urge you as aliens and strangers in this world, because we're to have nothing to do with the darkness. It's not part of us anymore. We are citizens of heaven. We are the called out ones. We are the Holy Catholic Church. We are those who've been brought out of the darkness. We're the ones who leave the patterns of this world behind, because we have been brought into his wonderful light. So we have an identity that we can't even dream of, an inheritance that we couldn't even grasp. And the other thing is, and I was thinking about this as Rita was reading her reading, because we see who our King is, and it should dispel all fear. We shouldn't be worried about anything. We shouldn't be worried whether we become part of Europe or we remain part of Europe or whether we go independent. We shouldn't fear whether we're going to be... We shouldn't fear no matter what happens, because we're not part of it. We're citizens of heaven. And God, our King, is one who can cope with any circumstances. Look at the church in the first couple of hundred years. They had nothing. They didn't have buildings. They weren't part of any nation. They had only one identity, and that was that they were in Christ. They suffered and they were persecuted by evil tyrants continually. And yet the gospel expanded throughout the entire world. The church was thriving. Why? Because they weren't interested in putting down roots in this world. They were interested in their citizenship in heaven. They were interested in being the Holy Catholic Church. And let me tell you, we don't need to be fearful of defending ourselves against other people. There's enough treasure to go around in God's kingdom. It's not that if our brother becomes a Christian, we have to half our treasure with him. No, there's enough treasure in the kingdom of God to go around for everybody. So we're the holy priesthood, or the royal priesthood, the holy nation, the chosen people, the people of God. What about the them? Well, I'm going to pick out one of those things in the royal priesthood, because that gets at what our job is as the Holy Catholic Church. We are priests. Every single one of us, if we believe and trust in Jesus, we are a priest of the living God. Now, when we go back to the Old Testament and see the priests, you had to be born a priest. You were born into the family of the Levites. Then you became a priest. So it mattered who you were. It mattered how you were born. But God has done away with that. He's brought in a new priesthood. And it doesn't matter how you're born. It doesn't matter whether you're born, as I'm going to go through them all again, black or white, man or woman, Levite, Gentile, Northern Ireland, Southern Ireland, Russian, English, doesn't matter how you're born. When you're born again, you're born a priest. When you trust in Jesus, you become a priest. When you're being built on the rock, the living stone, we are being built into the royal priesthood. We are priests. It's lovely to be royal, to be family of the King. And that's part of the reason why we shouldn't be a fearful people of no matter what happens in this world. Because we are children of the King. We're royalty. But we're priests as well. And the job of a priest, I always say it very simply, the job of a priest is twofold. You have the people in darkness. Let's assume the people of darkness are over there. And we're no different than the people in darkness, except that we have believed in Jesus. It's the only difference. People of darkness are over there, and God is over here. And we are in the middle. It is our job to bring the people to God and to bring God to the people. The way we bring people to God, very often, that's probably our most important job in that, is the job of prayer, to intercede for them. That's what God was always looking for. He was always looking for people, as he described it, to stand in the gap, to intercede on behalf of the people who are in darkness. And so part of our job as priests, and we are all priests, is to intercede on behalf of these people. Bringing the people, as it were, not physically, but in prayer, bringing them before God. And then the other job, of course, is to bring God to the people. How do we do that? Well, it's to love them. You see, that's the difference between our them and us and the world's them and us. The world's them and us is built upon fear and protectionism and ends up with violence and mistrust and all those things. The them and us that God creates, the light and the darkness, is that the light is to love the darkness. While we were in the darkness, while we were the enemies of God, Christ died for us. That's how you bring God to people. You die for them. You love them. You sacrifice yourself for them. You don't go running around Marseille trying to find them to kick the living daylights out of them. You're not scared of them, so you want to make sure they're kept well away from you. You go without fear, because we're going in love. And as Shirley was reading there about how that love dispels fear, and we're going to love them as Christ loved us. The job of a priest. Now, remember Wednesday night. I'm finished, by the way. Remember Wednesday night, the 2-minute slot. I don't care if no one does it. But if you'd like to, maybe you'd like to challenge something I've said. I love the picture. Well, I said it was finished, I'm not really. I'll drive Taddy insane. I loved when we went as a church up to visit the synagogue in Belfast. The one thing that stuck with me was how the guy explained what happened. Was that the rabbi would come and he would preach his sermon, and then everyone would come up and they would challenge him about everything he said, and they would put him over everything he said and make sure everything he said was right. And that really, I love that. So I think Wednesday night can be a wee bit of a forum for that as well, where it doesn't have to be, oh, well done, Dave, I loved your sermon on Sunday. It can be, Dave, I'm not too sure about this. I've been studying on Monday and Tuesday night, and this is what I think. So come on Wednesday night, but be sure that all these things, anything that's like that, anything of the world, any pattern of the world, it's gone. That was, you know, the European Union. There you've just seen. Here today, gone tomorrow. Certainly in God's eyes, here today, gone tomorrow. Britain. Here today, gone tomorrow. Ireland, here today, gone tomorrow. All the religions of the world, here today, gone tomorrow. The only thing that matters is that you're a royal priest of the King. Let's pray. Lord, we just want to thank you this morning for your word. And Lord, we're so ingrained with the pattern of this world in every way, Lord, we are always in need of you to encourage us. Bring us into your wonderful light, that we may see how you see, and that we may hear how you hear. And Lord, when we see things like the violence on the television, Lord, that we can realize that that's just a symptom of the patterns of this world. Lord, if we want to see something of the pattern of your world, of your kingdom, Lord, we can look no further than Jesus on the cross. laying down his life for your enemies. Lord, help us to adopt your them and us mentality, where we, by grace and by mercy, Lord, have been brought into your wonderful light. But Lord, let us go out and love the darkness, that they may see your light too. Have your way with us as a fellowship and as individuals, for your name's sake. Amen.